Thank you, Maddie, for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. I've shared this before. I was obnoxiously competitive when I was younger. My friends were that way, too. We were all very competitive, and so we would make a competition out of anything. I mean, it could be who could have the longest throw with the football, or it could be who can go the longest time without showering. We would make a competition out of anything. Well, I discovered something about my friends at some point. I figured out that I could prey on their competitive nature and use it to my advantage. So here's what I would do. If I wanted them to do something, I would say, "You can't do that." So I would say something like, "You can't take a shower in the next 3 minutes." If I wanted to leave in 5 minutes and I knew this guy was going to hold me up because he usually takes a long shower, well, that would make him take a short shower. Or I would say, "You can't have the grass mowed by 4 o'clock this afternoon." And I would say that because I was hoping that then that person would mow the grass by 4 o'clock because I needed it done by then. Or I would say, "You can't hold your breath for the rest of the commercials," because I was tired of hearing them blabber on about whatever, and I just wanted them to shut their mouth. I figured out if I said, "You can't do it," it would motivate them to do it. Well, I'm sure you know, school started back recently, and I want my kids to do really well in school. So I sat them down and I said, "You can't learn your multiplication tables this year. You can't learn to read by December. You can't finish the second grade this year." You know, I was using the same tactic I had used before with my friends. I was just using it on my kids now. So anyway, they've been crying themselves to sleep every night since I said it. No, I didn't actually say that to my kids. I would never say that to my kids. The fact is, I want them to have a good school year. I want them to gain a lot of knowledge this year. Right now, we are in a study of the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's all about searching for purpose. This book is filled with questions and probing and exploration, all in search of purpose. So today we're looking at Ecclesiastes 1, verses 12 through 18. And those verses are all about knowledge. Knowledge is a good thing. Knowledge is a gift from God. Knowledge can really help you. But there are some things knowledge can't do. So today, as we study Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 18, we're going to see three things knowledge can't do. Three things knowledge can't do. Here's the first thing. Knowledge can't satisfy. Have you ever asked someone to do something? Maybe it was a coworker or a spouse or a child. You ask them to do something and then you leave the room and you come back later and absolutely nothing at all has changed. You know, like, the trash that you asked them to take out is still sitting there on the ground, just stinking up the room. Or the room that you asked them to clean up still looks like a war zone. Or the papers that you asked them to organize still look like a library after a tornado has come through. You asked them to do something, and they didn't do anything. And so what do you say to them? You ask, "What have you been doing?" Moms especially, if you're like mine, you have asked that question more times than you want to count. Well, King Solomon, the guy who wrote this, the guy who's searching for purpose, kind of answers that question, except he hasn't just been sitting around. Look at what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting in verse 12. "I, the teacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to examine and explore through wisdom all that is done under heaven." He's saying, "I've been searching for purpose. I've put my mind and my resources and my wisdom toward figuring this out." But the way that he uses that word wisdom there is not what we think of as wisdom. I think when you hear wisdom, you might think, oh yeah, that's the knowledge that God gives you. It's this understanding of how things work, how things were designed by God that you get from the Holy Spirit. It's heavenly wisdom. That's what we think of, and that's what we think the Bible always talks about when it says wisdom. But that's not what Solomon is talking about when he says wisdom. He's talking about human wisdom. And that's this knowledge of the world that doesn't involve God. It's understanding how some things work, but it's this type of knowledge that you get from watching YouTube or reading books, not by asking God for it. It's this kind of knowledge that might help you win trivia night, or might help you assemble that IKEA furniture without crying, you know, like that kind of knowledge. But it doesn't have anything to do with God. The wisdom he's talking about is just knowledge. Now, don't forget Solomon. He's not some nobody. He is the most successful king, or he's the king of the most successful country at the time. Their trade deals are probably the best in the world. They are very wealthy. Their military is very strong. The people feel very safe. Solomon himself has more money than Jeff Bezos and has more connections than that one family member that's on Facebook that you know. Maybe your aunt who has like 10,000 friends. It's like there's no way you know all those people. He has all of this. And he has put all of his resources into figuring out the purpose of everything. He does this. He spends years of his life trying to figure it all out. And look at what he concludes. Ecclesiastes 1, the end of verse 13. God has given people this miserable task to keep them occupied. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun and have found everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind. So he puts all this time, all this money, all this energy into gaining knowledge. And then this is what he says. He basically describes it how I describe vacuuming. It is a miserable task to keep me occupied. Now, that's just a different way of saying it's something that satisfies me. You know how when you ask somebody, hey, do you like the work that you do? And I say, oh, yeah, it's super satisfying. It's a miserable task to keep me occupied. You know, nobody says that. That doesn't make any sense. It's the opposite of that. What Solomon is saying is that he's not satisfied with knowledge. Now, he's got it. I mean, he did a lot to get it, but it can't satisfy. Instead, it has left him feeling the same way he felt before he started searching, that everything is futile. It's just a pursuit of the wind. Now think about that, the wind. You can chase the wind all you want. You can run till you are out of breath, but you will never catch it. You will never have the satisfaction of grabbing it in your hands. That's because knowledge can't satisfy. It is a pursuit of the wind. Now, I know that when we read this part of Ecclesiastes and the pursuit of knowledge, you might go, okay, well, that might be for some people, like maybe the academics who are in colleges, who are, you know, they research a lot, or maybe some rich guy like Solomon who just spends all of his time, all of his resources looking for knowledge. But this part, it really doesn't affect me. I'm not dealing with the same thing he is. But I don't think that's true. I think if you search your heart, maybe you'll find that you believe knowledge will satisfy. Do you say, if I just had more knowledge about this, then I'll feel complete? Or do you ever think that if you get the next degree, well, then you'll finally be something? Do you ever tell yourself, if I just read the right book on this topic, then I'll have peace? Or do you think that if you get the right advice, that suddenly your life will just click? Or do you think, if I just knew why life is the way that it is, then I will be happy? Maybe you feel that way. Or maybe it's, if I just knew why that person always acts that way toward me, then I won't be bothered by it. Or if I just knew why that person lied to me, then I won't think about it anymore. If I just knew why that person left me, then I'll finally be able to move on. If I just knew why I've got this sickness, then I'll find some comfort. If I just knew why that person's life is great and why mine is barely holding on, then I'll be okay. If I just knew why God is letting this happen to me, then I'll be satisfied. Maybe you think that. I think all of us struggle with this. We all think that knowledge in some way will satisfy us, but it won't. It can't. There's always more to know. You'll always have follow-up questions. You'll never truly get it. You see, knowledge, while it may be good and helpful, knowledge can't satisfy. So that's the first thing knowledge can't do that we see. But that's not the only thing. We see, number two, knowledge can't fix what's broken. Have you ever heard someone humble brag before? You know, they're tooting their own horn while trying to look like they're not tooting their own horn. Maybe they say something like, you know, I just wish that I could volunteer more, you know, give back more, but it's just so hard to find the time between all of these charity events that I'm asked to speak at. Now, you hear that and you're like, congratulations, I guess. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about you saying that. It's a humble brag. Well, it kind of seems like that's what Solomon is doing. He's talking about searching for wisdom, trying to figure out the purpose of all things. He's longing for answers. And then he says this. Look at it with me. Verse 16. I said to myself, see, I have amassed wisdom far beyond all those who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has thoroughly grasped wisdom and knowledge. Okay, you have more knowledge, more wisdom than any of the other kings that reigned in Jerusalem before you. Like, are you saying that as an accomplishment? Should I clap? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with you saying that, Solomon. But he's saying it for a purpose. He's not just humble bragging. He's making a point, and he's not wrong about what he's saying. He has put a lot into gaining knowledge, into figuring things out. He has put more into it than the kings who came before him. He has more knowledge than those kings before him. I mean, Solomon's saying, I was the smartest guy in the room. I studied everything. I brought in every expert. You know, the economist, I brought him in. The life coaches, I brought them in. Bill Nye, the science guy, he was the smartest when I was a kid. At least that's what I thought. Solomon probably brought that guy in. The lady who wins Jeopardy all the time, Solomon brought them in. Now, he has more knowledge than a TED Talk playlist. He's got a lot. If someone had a PhD in something, well, Solomon was friends with them. He had them on speed dial. He's put all of this stuff, this rich dude has put all of these resources toward gaining knowledge. And where does he land? Look at your Bible, verse 15. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. He says, I gained all this knowledge. You know, I put all of this in there. I've tried to figure it all out. And here's what I found. It's like when you clean up your house. You put everything exactly where it goes. You kick all the kids out so they can't spread peanut butter on anything. You do all of that work. Everything is in place. And then after you've got it perfect, you realize that no wall in your house is straight. Like, it starts out 8 feet tall over here, but by the time it gets to the end of the wall, it's 10 feet tall. And then this wall over here is just wavy. It's not a straight wall. Every single wall is like that. And you notice that every window is a little crooked. You know, it doesn't match the ceiling line. It doesn't match the floor. It's all messed up. Every wall, every window is off. You know, it's like you bought a Dr. Seuss house without knowing it. That's what your house looks like. You realize it after you have cleaned it all up. Well, here's the thing. You can do all of this work, but it doesn't matter how well you decorate. Doesn't matter how well you clean. Doesn't matter how well you manifest Chip and Joanna Gaines in your styling of the house, you can't make it right because it's crooked. And those things that are crooked, you can't straighten them out. That's the point Solomon's making. He's got all the knowledge, but it doesn't matter because what is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. You see, knowledge can't fix what's broken. You know this. You can have knowledge, but it's not going to help you fix the world. That's just how life works. You can listen to every parenting podcast, but you still can't get your kids to clean their room without threatening to unstuff their teddy bear. Or you can know all of the marriage advice, but it doesn't mean that you'll never have an argument over who left the dishes in the wrong side of the sink. That's going to happen. Or you can read every book about succeeding at work, but you can't stop that coworker from gossiping about you. Or you can become an expert in systems and efficiency, but you can't stop people from leaving their shopping carts in parking spots in the Walmart parking lot. You can't do it. You can know everything there is to know about high and low pressure systems, but that's not going to help you stop a hurricane from obliterating a town. Or you can map every gene of the human body, but you can't cure death. The world is crooked. It's messed up. It's broken. We live in a world that is ravaged by sin, and we feel its effects all the time. No matter how much knowledge you have, you can't straighten it out. In fact, the more knowledge you have, the more you realize how powerless you are to fix things. Knowledge can't fix what's broken. And maybe you're sitting in here, you know you're the fixer type. You know, something goes wrong and you Google it, you watch a tutorial on it, and you go buy 10 rolls of duct tape because you know that you're going to be able to fix it. And yet there is still a relationship in your life that you can't make right. Or maybe there's a stubborn habit in your life. And you've heard all the experts talk about it, but it hasn't changed your sinful desire. Or maybe you, your parent, your spouse, your kid has a sickness that the doctors can't treat. You've read every study, every article, every theory about it. But it doesn't change the fact that they're getting worse. That is just life under the sun. You get more knowledge and you end up with more feelings that you can't fix everything. And that's because knowledge, as good as it is, can't fix what's broken. So that's the second thing knowledge can't do. It can't fix what's broken. And then there is a third thing that knowledge can't do. It's number three. Knowledge can't give you true happiness. Now, I'm a grown up now. At least I try to be most days. And so I feel comfortable sharing this with you. When I was younger, I was a little bit reckless sometimes. You know, nothing terrible, just young guy type of stuff. So I'd do things like we would try to catch raccoons by the tail. Or we would hang off the back of a boat and just be dragged through the water right next to the propeller. Or we would microwave metal and we just wanted to see what pretty colors it would form once it starts sparking. Or we would shoot bottle rockets at each other like it was some sort of Revolutionary War reenactment. Or we would jump over the bonfire as many times as we could to see who would get burned first. Like me and my friends, we were a little reckless, but not too bad. There were times that I would come home at night and my mom would say, "Hey, what'd you do today?" My response would be, "Well," she would say, "anything stupid or dangerous?" And my response would be, "Well," and she would cut me off. And she'd go, "You know what? I don't even want to know." And when she was right, she did not want to know what me and my friends were doing. And by the way, Mom, if you are listening to this on the podcast or whatever, I hope you know I didn't actually do all of those things I just listed. I made at least one of them up. So now you have no idea which ones I did and which ones I didn't do. So hopefully that'll make you feel better. But my mom was right. She did not want to know. Because if she knew, it would just make her more nervous. It would make her feel perplexed about my thought process. It would make her feel sad about the way that I turned out at that point in my life. She didn't want to know. Knowledge of that stuff would have increased her sorrow. It would have done the opposite of giving her happiness. Well, that's the point that Solomon is making in Ecclesiastes 1, starting in verse 17. Let's look at it. "I applied my mind to know wisdom and knowledge, madness and folly. I learned that this, too, is a pursuit of the wind. For with much wisdom is much sorrow. And as knowledge increases, grief increases." He's saying, I set out to learn all that I could about the world, thinking that I would finally find the purpose of everything. I would finally find happiness. But it turns out that was a mistake, because all my knowledge did was make me sad. He doesn't list out all the things that he learned that made him sad, but we can kind of gather if we read the whole book of Ecclesiastes. He learned that some people work until they die, and they don't ever get to enjoy what they worked for. And that's sad. He learned that people work on something their whole lives to leave a legacy, and then they die and they're forgotten about. That's sad. He learned how most of life is spent doing the things you really don't like, and you really don't get to do a lot of what you do like to do. That's sad. He's seen how you spend more time away from the people that you love than with the people that you love. That's sad. He learned about wars that destroyed countries, that left millions dead, that left families torn apart. That's sad. He learned about fires and earthquakes and storms that left destruction in their path. That's sad. And so here's what he's finding. Yes, he has learned a lot, but it hasn't brought him true happiness. His knowledge has just made him sadder, because knowledge can't give you true happiness. It's like when you have something wrong with you. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say this. You know, like maybe it's a strange cough or an odd ache, or suddenly your breath, or you have a weird taste in your mouth that kind of comes out of nowhere. And so this happens. What do? You know, you Google it, don't you? You Google your symptom and you start reading on Google what it says. And turns out you read that this could be a symptom of one of the rarest and deadliest diseases ever in humanity. This could be a sign that you have it. And by the way, if you have it, you know, it doesn't take long for it to progress really far. And you read it after you've Googled it and you're like, oh no. Well, that's it for me. I've got maybe an hour, 2 hours if I'm lucky. This is the end of my life. I just wish I would have known sooner. I would have called my family. I would have talked to my friends. I would have used all of those Starbucks bonus points that I've been saving up for something good. And now I can't. I just wish I would have known. And you get really sad after you read that. All because you could possibly have a symptom of this very rare and deadly disease. Not when the fact of the matter is, the reason you have that taste in your mouth is because you ate garlic bread last night and washed it down with whole milk. What were you thinking? Of course you were going to have a weird taste in your mouth hours later. But you thought that you were going to be able to Google it. You were going to learn that it's nothing at all, and it was going to make you happy. But what happened? The opposite of that. Knowledge didn't give you happiness. Now, that's kind of a silly example, but you've felt this before, haven't you? You've lived this before. Your experience tells you that knowledge can't give you true happiness. You stumbled onto the ingredient list of that food that you really like at that one restaurant, and as you are reading through it, you can't pronounce most of the things that are on there. They're really long words, and you're like, okay, I know now that this cannot be healthy. Like, I knew it was not healthy before, but now I know that this food's really bad for me. So now, I know that, I can't eat it anymore without kind of feeling bad. I mean, I'm still going to eat it, obviously. You know, that's the way you feel when you learned about it. Or maybe you learned something disappointing about someone you really respected. And once you learned it, you were like, I wish you wouldn't have told me that. Or maybe you look at different nations around the world and you see that every single one has some sort of wickedness that is not addressed. Maybe it's even celebrated and it fills your heart with sorrow. Or maybe you study history and you discover how much evil there has been and you feel this weight in your soul. Or maybe you scroll across something on Facebook or Instagram about the latest flood that has just left a ton of destruction that has resulted in a lot of people dying, and it breaks your heart. You feel what Solomon is saying, for with much wisdom is much sorrow. As knowledge increases, grief increases. The more you look at the world, the more brokenness you see, and the more sadness you feel. Because things really are messed up. Sin really is destructive. And it's not like the more you look at it, the more you see, the more you know, the more things get fixed and the happier you feel. No, the more you know, the more you grieve. Knowledge, though it can be very helpful, can't give you true happiness. So that's the third and final thing that we see knowledge can't do. I know, very encouraging today. Some of you are thinking, hey, I got up early. I came to church to learn something. You know, I brought my Bible. I brought my notebook. I brought my three highlighters. And now you're telling me that knowledge isn't that great. Well, I came here to learn something about God. Why did I even come here this morning? And even worse, there might be a parent sitting out there who's going, I just dropped my kids off in the kids ministry, and now you're saying, like, knowledge that, or what are you doing with the kids over there? Are you teaching them anything? And look, I know that it feels like I have just been trashing knowledge this whole time. But listen to me. God is not anti-knowledge. God does not want us to stop learning. He's not asking you to be dumb. He's not asking you to stop thinking or studying. No, God made everything. God created knowledge. He's not against us learning. He's not against us gaining knowledge on how to make stronger medicine. He's not against us gaining knowledge on how to make more efficient air conditioners. He's not against us gaining knowledge on how to make better pizza. And some of you are like, amen, this is what I came to church to hear. God likes good pizza. Yet God is not against gaining knowledge for those things. He wants us to have knowledge. But in Ecclesiastes, he warns us not to look for final satisfaction, for ultimate solutions, for true happiness in knowledge alone. Because knowledge by itself just leaves us hungry for more. It can diagnose, but knowledge can't heal. God wants to open our eyes so that we see what knowledge can't do. That's why Solomon says it's all chasing the wind. Because knowledge can't satisfy. It can't fix what's broken. It can't give you true happiness. Now, remember what we said last week. To understand Ecclesiastes, we need to read it with Jesus' glasses on. Well, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, he is presenting this view of life from under the sun. It's an under the sun view. What we need is an above the sun view. We need a heavenly view of things. And so, we need to understand knowledge through Jesus. Listen to me, you were made for knowledge. Now, not just knowledge about things, you were made for the knowledge of God. The deepest longing of your mind, of your heart, of your soul is to know the one who made you. The problem is we can't know God because of sin. We have separated ourselves from him because we have sinned against him. We can't know him completely because he is perfectly holy. He is completely perfect while we are flawed and corrupted by sin. And we need a solution to sin. And let me tell you, that solution is not knowledge. But here is the good news we all need to know. God and his love sent Jesus for us. And Jesus doesn't just bring us more information. He brings us himself. Listen to what Jesus said about himself in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus says, if you know me, then you know God the Father. And when he says no, he's not saying, and you need to just learn a bunch of facts about me. You need to know, like, about the city that I'm from, what it was like there. You need to know, like, you know, how long my beard was when I was 30, or what kind of fashion I sported when I was on, or what my tunic looked like. No, not that kind of knowledge. He's saying, know me, walk with me, amen. Trust me, rest in me. Jesus is the answer to the longing for satisfaction for wholeness, for happiness. In Jesus, you have a love that doesn't leave you hungry. You have the healing that you can't find in a self-help book or a podcast. You have a happiness that outlasts sorrow. Jesus does what knowledge can't do. So maybe today you're here and your next step is to put aside the pressure to know it all or to fix it all and to simply say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want you to satisfy my heart. I want you to fix what's broken in me. I need your happiness where my knowledge only brings sadness. You were made for true knowledge, the kind that only God can give, the kind that you can only find in Jesus. You were made to know God, and you can only know him through Jesus. But if you have never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, then you don't truly know God. Yeah, you might know facts about him, but you don't really know him. That's because you're still separated from him because of your sin. But listen to me, there is hope for you. Jesus died to pay for our sin. Jesus died to deal with sin so that it no longer separates us from God. Jesus died so that we could truly know God. So if you have never done it, trust in Jesus right now for the forgiveness of your sin. He offers you this forgiveness freely. There is nothing that you can do to earn it. It is a gift. Just come to God now and say, I know I'm a sinner, but forgive me based on Jesus. And if you trust in him in your heart, your sin will be forgiven and you will know God. If you'd like to talk to someone about that, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. And after the service, as everybody else is leaving, I'm going to be hanging around down here waiting for you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and truly knowing God. But maybe you're here today and you are a believer. Maybe you know Jesus. You know the gospel. But if you're honest, you've slipped right back into thinking that knowledge is what's going to bring you peace or what's going to fix your family or what's going to make you happy. And if you're honest with yourself, maybe you have been chasing answers instead of chasing Jesus. And maybe you're exhausted from trying to figure it all out, and you've forgotten that your truest joy in life isn't from knowing everything. It's in knowing him. So here's my invitation for you, Christian. Maybe this is your moment to come back to Jesus, not just as your Savior, but as your satisfaction. Maybe it's time to say, Lord, I've been looking for peace in all the answers, but I want to know it. I want to find it in knowing you. Maybe you need to say, God, I've been trying to fix what's broken in my life on my own, but I want to trust you with it. Maybe you need to say, I've been chasing happiness and knowledge, but I want my joy to be rooted in you alone. Whatever burden you're carrying, whatever questions you still don't have answered, whatever brokenness you still can't fix, bring it to Jesus now. Let him be the source of your satisfaction, your hope, and your happiness. And so we're going to sing this last song, and as we sing, maybe you need to spend that time just being honest with God. Maybe you need to admit to him that you've been chasing knowledge. Maybe you need to ask him to help you know him more. Maybe you need to pray with someone. I'm going to be standing down here waiting to pray with you if that's the case. Or the person next to you will pray with you. Or maybe you just need to sit and be still before God. However you need to respond, don't just settle for more knowledge about things. Leave here today knowing God more in Jesus. So let's pray, and then we will respond together. Father, thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. Thank you for not